is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Shams Charania reporting the NBA's informed teams and anticipates fully vaccinated players and team personnel will not be required to undergo regular coronavirus testing during the season. Non-fully vaccinated players and personnel will undergo regular testing. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but where it gets real interesting is that the Knicks, the Nets, and the Warriors, due to local city requirements, unless there is an approved medical or religious exemption from taking part in vaccination, the players will not be able to play in those home games. What I find, listen, you know where I stand on all this, and we don't need to get into that, but what I do find, there are some inconsistencies. My God, there are.
Some?
Well, the fact of the matter is that if you are an unvaccinated player for the Knicks or Nets or Warriors, you can't play in your own home games. But visiting players can. Visiting player can come in. It's like in at the U.S. Open. The fans have to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. The players don't. And I get to a point that you can control some things, you can't control the other, but my goodness, an unvaccinated player can come in and play at Shea Center against the Warriors, but a Warrior can't.
And that's due to residency, right?
It is due to residency, but my goodness.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Got to pull the...
It makes no sense.
It really, truly doesn't. All right, well, we don't know what Ben Simmons' vaccination status is, but we do know his playing status is up in the air when it comes to the Sixers. Thanks to Sam Amon for popping in the last segment.
Yeah, he's an anti-Sixer. Let's have fun, guys. Come
okay,
on.
That was good. It appears that Ben Simmons will not return to the Sixers, barring some sort of come-to-Jesus, kumbaya moments. It's not going to happen. And the fact that I think Rich Paul, to Sam answered that, but I do think Rich Paul is going to play a large role in this.
Oh, for sure. Rich Paul plays a large role in all superstar, all-star level type things in the NBA. Rich Paul... I hope one day there is like a true, actual documentary on Rich Paul, because I think he is maybe one of the most fascinating human beings that we don't talk enough about.
I completely agree. Met LeBron James selling jerseys out of the trunk of his car in the Atlanta Hawks. I believe it was Atlanta Hawks parking lot. And
a kajillion dollars later. Respect the hustle, man.
I don't buy for a second the talks between the Kings and the Sixers are over. I don't buy for a second the talks between the Sixers and any team that would have interest in Ben Simmons that would have any pieces to give up for him, despite what the conversations we have within our own fan base. When a 25-year-old, multiple all-star, perennial all-defensive team player at 6'11", who plays point guard, is available and disgruntled, you listen and you pursue. And
yeah,
it's no secret that Monty McNair wants to make a big swing. It's Jason Anderson of the B reported about a month ago that whether this is true or not, and that's not a shot at Jason, I'm just saying that as far as if it's being exaggerated by sources, there's pressure within the organization to make a big move. The Kings, as they stand right now, and listen, we saw with the Suns last year, anything can happen, but the Kings, as it stands right now, likely are not a playoff team. Vegas has them usually somewhere between 34 and 36 wins on the year. That will not get it done. So obviously they want to do something.
Right. Going back to what you said about the talks not being done, one, I completely agree with you 100%. Also, Sam, something he kind of mentioned, and if I butcher this, forgive me, but you know the idea of the Fox Halliburton thing?
Yes.
And I'm going to really lean on Halliburton here. The idea that there's some around the league that don't think the Kings are necessarily unwilling to part with him. I agree with that. I think Monty McNair's done the right thing by, you know, I'm going to put my lowball offer out there. This is how negotiations go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my lowball offer out there. They're clearly going to reject it.
Right.
I have a feeling, this is just, again, this is a gut feeling, that given how badly McNair wants to land an all-star, a guy that's going to come in here and change the fortunes of the franchise, at least to the point where they are a competitive team in the Western Conference to start with.
Right.
I cannot envision a scenario where Daryl Morey calls Monty McNair and says, hey, I have an offer on the table I'm going to accept from Team X. However, if you give me Buddy Bagley and you include Halliburton and a lightly protected first, I'll take your deal and we're good. I just don't see him saying no. I really don't.
Dumb analogy time.
Okay.
If somebody asked me at a press conference if I want to stick my face in a pile of dog crap,
mm-hmm.
my answer is going to be no. There's no part of me that wants to do that. And if somebody was offering me $1,000 to do it, I would not accept that. That's a lot of money, sure. But I'm not going to stick my face in a fresh, warm pile of dog poop. It's just...
You're not going to volunteer for that one.
Not going to do it. And I'm telling the truth. I'm not trying to misdirect anyone. I'm not trying to mislead anybody. But if the same person offering me $1,000 to do that comes back and says, I'll offer you $100,000, guess who's going to have a face full of warm dog poop? This guy. This guy.
And if you give me half of that, I'll lick it off your face.
Really?
Dude, I got stuff.
You would
do
lick warm dog poop off my face
not
for 50K?
All of it. Not all of it. I have my price.
Anyways, before I get in more trouble.
Great analogy.
Thank you. Well, you took it to a different place.
I didn't start it, though.
A little bit. Monty McNair right now is looking, in his mind, in the face of sticking his face in some warm dog poop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to do it. But if that offer changes, never say never. Life is, again, David Stern, life is a negotiation. So,
especially if, you know, it's reported Rich Paul wants Tyrese Maxey in the deal. Again, that changes the calculus.
Completely changes the calculus.
But I'm going to ask you the same. I'm going to ask you whether or not you think it's correct that if Daryl Morey came back and said, hey, I got deal X on the table, mm-hmm. but I'll turn it down if you throw Halliburton in, and like I said, you get one protected first. Do you honestly think Monty McNair says no
so
to that?
So what are we talking? Halliburton, Buddy, Bagley, and a lightly protected
first.
I think he does that.
I think so, too. I think the idea that Tyrese Halliburton is untouchable is nothing more than a negotiating tactic.
And by the way, that's dog poop on the face. It's not comfortable. It's not something you want to do.
No, again, but in order to get good players, you have to trade good players.
We know what we love that Tyrese Halliburton has embraced this city, and Tyrese Halliburton may be a phenomenal player, but Ben Simmons is.
Maybe was the key word
maybe.
You used there.
Ben Simmons is.
By the way, this is not an endorsement to trade Halliburton.
No.
This is simply, I'm just looking at it, I'm taking my fan glasses off for a second and my personal admiration for the player, and all I'm saying is when you take the fan part out of it and you're just looking at this from a transactional standpoint, I really find it hard to believe that Halliburton's untouchable.
I agree. I do agree with that. And I also think, listen, if the Sixers were to come back and say, we'll throw in, you give us, we'll throw in Matisse Thybulle and you guys give us Fox and Bagley and no picks. You tell me he doesn't do that either?
I think he looks long and hard at it. At the very least, he is mulling that over and not sleeping.
This is not an exercise to encourage the tradings of Fox and Halliburton. This is an exercise in the sense that just because something is said, nobody's untouchable. George Karl was right. There's maybe two or three guys in this league that are untouchable, and none of them play for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. I mean, the Kings traded away their all-NBA big once upon a time for Buddy Hield, and essentially a first-round pick and salary filler.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just you have to look at these things from just an asset standpoint. You have to take away your emotional attachment to the players. Again, nobody's advocating for any of these guys to get traded. We're just saying, hey, if there's a deal on the table, let's be realistic about what it's going to take to get it done. And I'm going to keep leaning on, I don't think Tyrese is untouchable. I just don't. It doesn't make sense that he'd be untouchable after 1 year where he didn't win Rookie of the Year. It's not like he made the All-Star team in his first year or All-NBA anything. You know, All-Rookie first team. I mean, come on.
Right. anyways.
Yeah. So, again, this is going to be very interesting how this scenario plays out. It's going to be fascinating to see what the haul eventually is for Ben Simmons, whether that's from Sacramento or another team. I am truly fascinated with how this whole thing develops.
Well, stay tuned. The NBA has gone 0 days without unnecessary drama. So right. We're here. Speaking of unnecessary drama, the Las Vegas Raiders, their owner, Mark Davis, is building a mansion in the mountains near Las Vegas as Some local architects see it will be macho and futuristic. This according to the Las Vegas Review Journal. It will also seem familiar. He bought a six-acre plot in Henderson's luxury Ascaya community, and project plans filed with the city show a three-story, ultra-luxury house that would look strikingly similar to the Raider practice facility in Henderson.
Please look this up, folks.
And a little bit like Allegiant Stadium just west of the Strip. Now, if we ever get somebody else on the staff, we would be showing you pictures of this right now on the YouTube feed. As seen in city records with site plans, it's a Raider-colored home, silver and black, obviously. It would have floor-to-ceiling windows. It would be heavy on symmetry, rising to a peak in the middle where the top floor resembles the bridge of a ship, of which I could see Mark Davis sitting out there in his tidy whities at 6 a.m. with, like, some Tonka trucks going zoom.
Why did you have to do that? Why did you have to put that image into my head?
Have, like, a Boba Fett figurine firing on a Han Solo.
Does Mark Davis take baths and play with his
100%.
Cars?
100%. Conditioner makes you silky and smooth. That is 100% the right reference.
Mark Davis is Billy Madison.
100%. According to the project plans, the house would have a man cave, which really should be person cave, shouldn't it? At this point, it's 2021. A prep kitchen, a bar, a steam room, a library. Why? A library, a sleek pool area, a porte cochere. You might say, well, what is a porte cochere? And maybe even if you're not saying what is a porte cochere, you might be saying, well, hold on, I've heard of a portico. What's a porte cochere? A porte cochere is a covered entrance large enough for vehicles to pass through, usually into like a courtyard situation. It's often, for example, the White House has a portico. You've seen it with the two pillars coming down where the president and the first lady will often greet visiting dignitaries. It is covered for rain, etc. A porte cochere is often larger than a portico. It's a covered structure at the primary secondary entrance to the building. So there you go. You learn something every day. All told, the massive house would join the desert Roomba called Allegiant Stadium and that practice facility in Henderson, putting it all together and putting that Raiders stamp on Las Vegas. The 6.3-acre parcel cost $6 million. He bought it last summer. The overall valuation of this home, once completed, will be $14 million.
Only the Davis family does this, right? This is such a move that Papa Al would have made at some point like this. Their commitment to this organization is admirable to the point that they design their houses after it.
I'm going to say something here.
Oh, boy. Let me turn down the music.
I am 10,000,000,000% behind this. And I think every NFL and sports owner should do this.
Can I say I know why? Because I know if somehow Carmichael David woke up and Vivek Ranadive said, here's the Kings.
Yep.
And all this money.
Yep.
You're finding a plot of land somewhere in the Sacramento area.
Yep.
And you're building this purple palace.
I am going to Roseville, Granite Bay, wherever. I am building myself a mini replica Golden One Center to live in. Anytime a Kings game
he's
is gonna on.
He's going to have the food vendors in
the
it.
The whole thing. I'm going to replicate the concession area with authentic buttered popcorn. Anytime a Kings game is on and I'm not there, for example, a road game where I'm not in attendance, there's going to be a large Batman signal-style purple spotlight that shoots out the center of my home, a big eye that opens up in the roof with a big Kings logo on a cloud in the sky, the whole thing. I have dreamt about this because I would be Billy Madison.
I believe it.
The pool would have the logo at the bottom. The color scheme would make Prince's Paisley Park purple look like a project compared to what I'd be doing.
You'd treat trade deadline day like Billy Madison treated Nudie Magazine Day.
Yep, and you know what else? Because that would be gated, because I'd be super rich and I'd have security, I wouldn't have to worry about any of that crap. And I would have a viewing center for games, and I would regularly during the season, I would have fans come to the house and we would all sit there and watch, and they wouldn't have to worry about anything. You fed and drinks. I'll limit the on drinks. I don't want drunk people throwing up on my nice purple house, but yeah, I would do the whole thing.
Come on.
I would do, yeah, two drinks maximum, not two drink minimum, two drink maximum. Then come and hang out, and then we all dive in the pool for a king's win, that type of thing. The water in the hot tub would be purple, Jay. So the fact, not joking, the fact that Mark Davis has successfully outmaneuvered Sheldon Adelson, the late Sheldon Adelson, the most powerful man in Vegas, got this deal done, comes to Vegas, gets the stadium, gets the practice facility, and now he's building an homage to the silver and black. I hope that the gate to the house he lives in is a giant Raiders shield.
Oh, it has to be.
With the eye patch and the swords, and it opens up for you to enter.
There is definitely somewhere, whether it's inside the house or on the outside patio or something, there is a statue of his father that is getting erected for this, right?
Dude, honestly, this whole project...
Like, there's going to be an Al Davis shrine somewhere.
This whole project is garbage. If somewhere on that lot, and probably it should be in between the pool and the spa in the backyard area, there is not an Al Davis Eternal Flame replica. I'm serious. There better be an Al Davis, because me at my King Shrine, you would have, like, where where you walk through, where they have all the plaques and stuff at Yankee Stadium, you would have different. You would, oh, hey, there's Chris Webber. Oh, there's Doug Christie. What? Hey, there's Otis Thorpe.
What's the name of the Raiders fight song again? Is it The Winds of Change or something?
The autumn wind is a Raider.
Something like that. Anyways, you walk in, you press a button, and that's playing throughout the house.
You open up those silver and black, whatever, the gates that we're talking about. You open that up, and what happens? You drive through, and all you're hearing is the autumn wind. In fact, I would like it if, as you stepped on like a pebble or something, I would love it if all of a sudden you heard John Facenda's voice, "The autumn wind is a Raider." Terrible impersonation of
yeah, don't
of
do that.
But
again.
But you though it opens up, and boom, like, why would you not do that? Why would you not do that? There's no reason to not do that. Come on. Anyway. I'm all for it. Good for you. Good for you, Mark Davis. Toilet gate at the U.S. Open as we move on. This is a fun story, Jay.
No, I felt so bad.
For?
The man getting booed.
Really?
Whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, I can see why. Stefanos. I listened to it all morning. I literally listened to it this morning. I YouTubed it. Well, I know it. It's a Tsitsipas. Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yeah, I would have butchered that.
Tsitsipas was playing Adrian Mannarino as he was leaving the court for a second round victory. He was booed. He was booed because he went potty. Yesterday, Tsitsipas took a toilet break that created an 8-minute delay between the end of the third set and start of the fourth. His return was greeted by fans voicing their displeasure. Certainly aware that the 3-time major champion Andy Murray decried what he called nonsense by the 23-year-old. He's taking 7-8-minute toilet breaks when the match is not going his way, and has also been accused of being in the bathroom and texting his father, who is also a coach of his, to talk tactics. Now, he came back and he won the match. Here's what Andy Murray had to say.
Not anything to you about what's going on.
It's not so much leaving the court, it's the amount of time. You know, I spoke to my team before the match about it and said to expect that and prepare for it if things were not going his way. So I was trying to do that. But the issue is that you cannot stop the way that that affects you physically. You know, when you're playing a brutal match like that, you know, stopping for 7-8 minutes, you do cool down, and it's you can prepare for it mentally as much as you like, but it's the fact that it does affect you physically when you take a break that long, multiple times during the match. Every single time it was either, before my serve as well. And I think when he took the medical timeout, you know, it was just after I'd won the third set. And also in the fourth set when I had love 30, he chose to go, and I don't know if he changed his record or what he was doing. But yeah, it can't be coincidence that it's happening, you know, at those moments. I don't believe the foot was causing him any issue at all. The match went on for another 2 and a bit hours after that or something, and he was fine, moving great, I thought. It's just disappointing because I feel it influenced the outcome of the match. I'm not saying I necessarily win that match for sure, but it had influence on what was happening after those breaks. And, I rate him a lot. I think he's a brilliant player, and I think he's great for the game. But I have zero time for that stuff at all, and I lost respect for him.
Andy Murray, listen, I know this isn't a big tennis town.
Can you name a big tennis town?
New York's a big tennis town.
New York's just a big town.
Andy Murray is a class act, and for him to say that, he's not a guy that just, you know, goes crazy. And you could tell he's very deferential and complimentary to Tsitsipas. And I don't know what the answer is here, because effectively what you have is you have two guys playing tennis, and one guy's getting beat, and so he goes to the bathroom for 10 minutes, and while the other guy's out on the court, you know, trying to stay warm, it's a mental thing, this, that, whatever. And when you look at other individual sports, it's tough. Because golf, you know, you guys go take a leak all the time when they're playing golf, and girls. Boxing, UFC, no choice, no chance. But those are also, you know, in boxing, you're talking about 30 minutes, 30, or excuse
Let's
me.
Let's be real. In boxing,
an hour.
You can just go.
Probably. I mean, maybe, to a point. I don't know what the answer is here, because I understand Andy Murray's point. And it sounds like, because there have been many previous complaints about this from other players, a lot of players came out to support Andy Murray yesterday and say he's exactly right. This guy's pulled this crap on us before, no pun intended. But how do you solve it? What's the answer? Do you ban them? Can you ban bathroom breaks during a 3-hour tennis match?
No.
By the way, why do you have to go to the bathroom?
Dude.
What about this? NASCAR drivers can't. They go 3, 4, 5 hours in a vehicle without taking a bathroom break.
Well, that we know of.
That we know of, sure. And maybe there's Depends or something. I don't
know.
That's
what I mean.
Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Think about if we would have banned bathroom breaks on this show for 3 hours.
I understand that.
Or smoke break. You know what I mean?
But at least it should be. Should it be a penalty?
No.
What if you said, what about this, Jay? What if you said you can take the bathroom break? Any bathroom break you have to take during a match, you can take, but it will cost you a game.
I think they're holding it at that point.
It will cost you a game, and more importantly, it'll cost you a break, because you can't just say, I'm going to lose to his.
Here's the problem with that, though, is if you actually were to develop an intestinal issue because your tennis is liable.
I understand that, but what's the difference between developing an intestinal issue and spraining your ankle? They're both maladies that you have to deal with.
What rule does tennis put in place that is going to make you strain your ankle?
That'll make you strain your ankle?
Correct.
Well, no, there's no rule. It's just if you strain your ankle, it's unfortunate, but you're going to lose the match. If you happen to have
something. But you're talking about implementing a rule where you can't go to the bathroom, and if you do, you lose a match or a point set.
You lose a game.
Right, but what I'm saying is you're implementing a rule there.
Because it's not fair to the opponents.
Sure.
When you're taking
again,
advantage.
if you do have to go to the bathroom and there is a rule in place that says you will lose the game if you don't go to the bathroom and you develop some sort of issue because you can.
Okay.
Tennis is now liable.
I know we got to make take a break here. Would we meet in the middle? What about, and I know this sounds stupid, but what about a tennis official following the player into the bathroom?
That to me is much more logical.
You follow them into the bathroom. You make sure they have no electronics whatsoever, and you're literally sitting there while they're
Hey, check in your phone prior to sitting on the toilet is more than okay.
Well, maybe there's middle ground. We'll get to the bottom of this, pun intended. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
All right, once in a blue moon, a lot of stuff happening on this day, including something in the NFL involving your former Oakland Raiders, and we'll talk about the Tour Championship teeing off here in less than 20 minutes. We'll do all that next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Hi, I'm Dave.
A couple of future notes for you, so you can write these down. Put them in your iPhone calendar. If you have an Android, I can't help you. Except to ask why. Right? Right, Jay?
Right.
Get that.
Tony Montana has to be the first one, right?
Get that color of text off of my screen. Tony Montana?
Yeah, you said Future, the rapper? So Tony Montana, the song, the...
Yeah.
That's not what you're talking about?
Tomorrow at 7:30.
Oh, like Back to the Future. Yeah. Like Doc Brown Future. Gotcha.
Dave Richard will join us.
Hey!
A lot of you, in fact, most of you should have your fantasy football drafts happening this weekend.
If you're smart.
If you had them before now, you're doing it wrong. Dave will join us, and as always, we will take in your phone calls. And this for Rudy, who asked if we were going to have any fantasy football coverage. Come on.
Rudy's been here long enough. Yeah, it's like, dude, come on. Better. You don't go to McDonald's and ask, hey, are you guys going to have the Big Mac this week?
Dave may be the finest NFL fantasy analyst in the country, and by that I mean handsome. He will join us tomorrow at 7:30 to take your questions and to talk about who you should draft, who you should not draft, and who the steals and late round, because we all know that's where fantasy football is won, in those late rounds. He will weigh in on that. Also, what did I say, next Wednesday, Jay, I think? The great Frank Caliendo.
You said the 7th,
yeah,
so whatever day that
7th,
is.
Yeah, Wednesday, Tuesday, the 7th. So when we get back, I believe.
Yes.
Frank Caliendo.
By the way, we won't be here Monday, Labor Day, folks.
Monday will be Labor Day. We will be gone.
Hey, much deserved day off for us.
been a long stretch.
I get it.
Been a long two-day stretch. It'll be 3 days by tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. So Labor Day, Monday. Of course, everybody's off for that. Please enjoy your weekend. And also one quick note as well. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter at Carmichael Dave. You shouldn't.
I don't.
But we are doing everything we can right now, and still I can't talk about it yet, but getting ready to do much more for the victims of the Caldor fire. My direct messages are open. We have been placing families better outlet, either in homes of volunteers, Airbnbs, hotels and motels. We're trying to do it as close to their area as possible. You have families displaced, kids out of school. They don't want to leave their pets. It's a mess of a situation. The good news is some of the evacuees are being allowed back home, but you have some people that don't have a home to go back to. It's a long-term problem. So please hit me up in my direct messages if you, or if you know anyone who has been displaced, or if you have a place to stay. We're also working on gift cards for gas. That's one of those things you don't think about, but a lot of these families now are having to drive a lot. They don't have a ton of money to begin with in some cases. Also found out yesterday in talking to one of the government officials in El Dorado County, a lot of these folks don't have homeowners insurance. The home's gone. It's gone. That's it. They're done with that. So terrible situation there. And then there was one other thing. Oh, yeah, there's I forget the name of it. I think it's called Wood Angels. This is a group of just average Joes and Janes. And what they do is they go and they cut firewood when trees come down. They cut it up and they either give it to those who need firewood, or they sell the cords and donate it to people in need. That's what they do. And it's just people that work regular old jobs, and then on the weekends they all get together and they go cut wood. And they had all their chainsaws stolen this week. All of them. It just when you start to have faith in humanity again. So we're working on getting them. I was talking to the guy last night, more chainsaws. So anyways, direct messages are open. Please use them at Carmichael Dave on Twitter as we'll continue to try to help those in need. Jay, right now, we're going to help everybody out with a Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Hey.
Hey.
I found this on the old interwebs.
Oh, did you?
55 years ago today, 1966.
Jason Ross was 12 years old,
16.
Think. Excuse me.
Joe, I'm going to say this last name's Our.
Mama. What?
How do you pronounce that last name? You're better at this than I am.
Joe, yeah, I think that's Joe Our.
Joe Our returns the opening kickoff 95 yards for a Miami Dolphins touchdown in the Dolphins' first ever NFL regular season game. That's
wow.
Right. Played today, 55 years ago. Mm. However, they lost 23-14 to the Raiders at the Orange Bowl before 26,776 fans.
Wow. I don't know if you know this because you're probably not good on, you know, who's going to know history of this, but also a two-sport star.
Joe Howard?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Other sport.
Played for the Bucks, played for the Lakers, won multiple championships. You might know him as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. By the way, Jason Ross is 23. He just informed me of that. The Tour Championship. Here's how it works, Jay. I know you're interested. You can open your eyes now.
No, I'm still trying to process.
Bro,
what you
said
just
Sam
did.
Bemick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And mine all made sense. Yours, no.
Mm-hmm. First place in the FedEx Cup is $15 million. The runner-up earns $5 million. Every player who makes it to East Lake will earn at least $395,000. Just short of what, speaking of, Jason Ross makes every year. Eight players will earn at least $1 million in FedEx Cup bonus money. Every player who qualified for the FedEx Cup playoffs, even the ones who got cut, remember this is a 30-person field, will earn at least $100,000, and those 126th to 150th in the final FedEx Cup standings all earn $70,000. Here's what's funny. The bonus money is the only money given for a finish at East Lake. There is no longer a purse for the Tour Championship. FedEx Cup bonus money is not considered part of a player's official earnings for the season. And I don't have this information, but I very much wonder if it's considered as official lifetime earnings money as well on that list. But again, first place is $15 million.
That's it, huh?
That's all. Here's how it works. And I believe, like, and it's really great, too, when like, a superstar does win. I'm pretty sure, like, Brent Snedeker won it a few years ago, which is
love
awesome.
Me some Beast Neds.
Right. First place on the basis of, obviously, his season, but also last weekend's thrilling playoff with Bryson DeChambeau as Patrick Cantlay. So he's going to start out. They're teeing off. They're going to start teeing off in about 2 minutes. He starts off the tournament at 10 under. Followed by Tony Finau at 8-under. So he gets a two-stroke lead going in. And then you have Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under, John Rahm at 6-under, Cameron Smith at 5-under. And then here we go. Justin Thomas, Harris English, Abraham Anser, Jordan Spieth, and Sam Burns 4-under. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole field. All the way down to even par, which is Daniel Berger, Eric Van Rooyen, Sergio Garcia, Billy Horschel, Patrick Reed. I like this. I wouldn't like it for every tournament. But I love that there is a staggered system going into that final tournament. That
it makes it more interesting.
It makes it more interesting, and the fact that you could literally, like, I mean, Daniel Berger could beat Patrick Cantlay by 9 strokes in this tournament, and he's gonna finish behind him. But if you don't want that, win the other tournaments. I enjoy that they're thinking out of the box, and I enjoy that what you did to this point throughout the whole season factors into this chase for $15 million. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, though. A lot of people think this is out of control, and a lot of people think that it should all start out, everyone's even going to the final tournament, but
no,
I say, well,
I
then
disagree.
What's the point?
I disagree. I look at it almost like any other tournament to end a season, right? Whether it's football with the NFL playoffs, baseball playoffs, NBA playoffs, right? You have seeding.
You have an advantage.
You have an advantage because of your seeding.
Home court advantage.
This is essentially the same deal.
Right.
And we have every other tournament that starts like that. That's fine. I agree with you. The end of the year tournament for that kind of money, like, your standing throughout the year should matter,
sure,
shouldn't it?
Sure. Makes you think, though, doesn't it? Like in football. We've talked about this before, and this is a much longer conversation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before how in football you have inherent issues. 100 yards, that's the length of the field. It doesn't change. But the weather changes.
Yep.
And so you've got a team that builds itself in part around the weather in their home field, but then what happens when they go play in the Super Bowl in a dome?
Yeah, or vice versa. What happens when they go into the NFC Championship game? It's in Green Bay. Oh, snap. It is snowing heavy. It's cold.
If you truly wanted everything to be fair, you would play everything in the domes because that's truly how you have a completely – and I hate when playoff games are decided in the NFL by weather. I really, truly do. I don't like that.
No, it's dumb.
But what if you had a situation where all the playoffs were played in domes at neutral sites, much like the NCAA Final Four type of the tournament setup?
You take away the home field advantage.
You take away the home field advantage, but your finish based on regular season standings informs how many points you have to start the game as a lead.
So, essentially, like, let's say the number one seed is playing the number six seed.
So, they start out 10-0. I don't know. I'm just randomly throwing out a score. But they start out 10-0.
I think if you're in the neutral site thing, like you're saying.
I have to be that way.
I think it's more fair that way. Because, yeah, you're right. If, like, I have to go to Green Bay and they have a 10-0 lead with the snow, like, I might as well just not play.
Would you also be in favor of selling, giving the top seed first priority on 80% of the tickets?
Not 80%.
75? So if the number one, if the
70.
The Chiefs are playing the Raiders are this, whatever.
65-35, I feel
that
is fair.
That close?
Yes.
Wouldn't be that way at Arrowhead.
No, it would not. But again, we're talking about a neutral site
but
here.
But then you shrink them as you go.
I have to do more thoughts on that. That like you said, that's a longer conversation.
I know football fans are tearing that. We're not advocating. We're just trying to see if it would apply.
Just trying to make things more interesting.
If it would apply. Should a boxing champion be up around going into the fight?
Yes. There should be. Well,
they do say you have to take the belt.
That is true. I think because there's already unfair advantages the way it's scored, you can't do that.
We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, coming up next, some very good non-Kings related fun. I shouldn't say fun. Heartwarming, I should say. Well, no, that's definitely not what I want to say.
What are you doing right now?
Well, Marcus Aldridge is coming back. Now I want to explain it. And it is heartwarming, but I don't want to, you know what I'm, you know
yeah,
why.
Well, you
I,
started talking Kings. Right. I'm like, what the hell are you
talking
I
said non-Kings related. Oh. Marcus Aldridge has been cleared to play. That's fantastic. That's good news for him. We got What's on Tap in the crossover next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Reggie Theus's mustache in the 1980s.
I don't know why that was the topic du jour in the YouTube chat today, but it was.
1996 Mike, who has never brought up a topic that's post-1996, decided to go there and just kind of created a life of its own.
Let's be honest.
Meow.
Reggie Theus and the mustache, along with the taco meat that was spilling out of his jersey.
And that wasn't that fake soy meat, let me tell you.
No, that was a real deal.
That was ground beef, bud.
Meow. You know what I'm saying?
Reggie Theus in the 80s was just...
That was everyone.
That was like you sculpt out a man. Mm. Reggie Theus was that dude.
All the ladies wanted Reggie and all the guys wanted to be Reggie.
Hey, now.
And maybe some of the guys want, you know, I mean, listen. It's
the
Reggie.
Only guy that can make those baby blue jerseys desirable, right?
Reggie Theus, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Get you some today. The Tigers finish off their series with our Oakland Athletics.
Oh.
You know, I mean, okay, Sports 1140 KHK, your home of the A's.
The game's today.
Pre-game. In just about a half an hour, 40 minutes from now at 9:30.
42.
Morning baseball, if you will. Frankie Montas on the mound. They take on the Tigers in a must-win. They're all must-wins now. First pitch at 10:10. Also, afternoon baseball in San Francisco. The Giants continue their hosting. And by the way, can we just say this? If nothing else, the Giants are being very nice hosts to the Milwaukee Brewers. They have shown them into Oracle Park. They have given them the master bedroom with the good bathroom with the bidet in it. They have waited on them hand and foot. They hope to leave a poor taste in their mouth.
Hey, you'd think the Giants are playing in Milwaukee because of that big slide. Come on. Come on. Don't even be mad at it. You're mad you didn't come up with it. This is a radio show. Eight out of ten? Oh, come on.
Wow, that's complimentary.
Eight?
8 out of 10.
Eight, I'm a B.
I'm giving you an 8 out of 10. Well, in some classes, that's an A.
I'm above average. I'm not excellent.
Eric Lauer, Logan Webb. Logan Webb, 8-3 with a 2.65. He has been unstoppable. If the Giants are going to win a game in the series, it'll be this one. They are a half game behind the Dodgers. You also have the Tour Championship starting today. Remember, Patrick Cantlay starting out with 10 under par. That's pretty good. 10 under par before you even hit the ball. That's a really, really good score. And
wait, he gets it on the fairway. He can lay.
Dude, it's not Friday.
It's close enough. It's my Friday.
Very fun Labor Day weekend. By the way, this tournament should be starting tomorrow and end on Labor Day. That would be more fun. Give us some Labor Day. Labor Day sports is not. It's not a great sports day. But you do have the NFL kicking off a week from today, pal.
Yeah. We talked about. NFL on Labor Day would be an excellent way to
Wouldn't that be a great way? Monday Night Football on Labor Day to open the year. You're 100% correct.
Grills going.
You're
100%
correct. Also, by the way, this seems so weird to parents, but back in my day, Labor Day was also the day before you started the school for the kids.
Yeah. Again, that's a back in your day thing because back in my day, we were starting school pre-Labor Day.
Really? You never started the day after Labor Day?
No.
Wow.
By the time I was doing summer vacations and stuff, it was definitely August was the return days.
Well, I will say this for those of you who care, and I'm probably, you know, talk about narrow casting. I am probably the only one to care about this, but you don't get it on Labor Day, but you do have football this Sunday. Number 9, Florida State goes to Tallahassee to take on. I don't know why Florida State still gets these prime matchups and time slots, but you have really the true opening of college football this weekend. For the four college football fans out there, I'm one of you. Number 1, Alabama takes on number 14, Miami. You got number 2, Oklahoma and Tulane. Ohio State, Minnesota, just going over some of the good matchups here. How about number 19, Penn State, traveling to number 12, Wisconsin. Oregon is number 11. They host unranked Fresno State. They're favored by only 20.5. Number 17, Indiana at number 18, Iowa. Number 23, Louisiana at number 21, Texas. And the game of the weekend, number 5, Georgia travels to take on Dabo Swinney and number 3, Clemson.
Is there a college football fan base I can be adopted into? Because
Florida State. We will welcome aboard, buddy.
I mean, I want to have the full experience, like that full Saturday morning
not around
ESPN
here, dude.
Game day. I know not around here.
And that's no offense to Sac State or UC Davis. I went to a couple of UC Davis games last year. They do such a wonderful job. But you're talking about with a national
Yes, I want the
relevance.
Pop in circumstance.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be into college football, but again, I'm the type of person, I can't get into a sport if I don't have a emotional rooting interest.
I've been told that college football is much like NASCAR to some people. You have to have a specific rooting interest in a racer, much less like a team. Obviously, I was born into it. I never had a choice with Florida State, and I'm so glad I was born into that. You would probably have to go to Stanford or Cal.
In this area,
in
right?
This area is the closest we have. UCLA, USC, obviously.
I mean, I'm down to get on a plane and go somewhere in the SEC.
I mean, maybe the closest for you to true that would check all those boxes would be like Oregon, which isn't that far of a drive, but Oregon would probably.
I could take a plane to Oregon.
Yeah, easily.
That's not a bad idea.
And I mean, but to answer your question.
And I like ducks. Ducks are fantastic.
Apologies to the University of Washington, to Washington State fans up in Pullman. Apologies to Oregon, Oregon State, UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Cal. If you really, really, really want the true college experience, you got to go to the South.
That's my point.
You have to go. Yeah, it's SEC. It's Florida State. It's Georgia. Now, listen, Notre Dame, obviously, there's outliers. Penn State, you know, it's not just in the South. But there is nothing like, I was at Kentucky-Auburn about 7 years ago. And just the tailgating, people barbecuing
everywhere. I want all of that.
Waking up on Saturday and taking your whole rig out there and seeing old friends, parking in the same spot, doing your thing, and then, you know, eating and drinking and then rolling into the game is almost an afterthought. Ugh. It's just an experience we don't really have out here, and it sucks because it's awesome.
I might try Notre Dame just because my great-grandfather was offered a scholarship there, but for basketball, turned it down.
Why?
He did not want to convert to Catholicism.
Oh, you had to convert?
At that time, I believe that was a requirement. You had to be Catholic to go to Notre Dame.
Couldn't fake it.
He might be frowned upon. Like, we're talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, the ironic part is he eventually, I believe, became Catholic later in life.
Oh,
like, good job, Clive.
Yeah.
Clive Woody.
Clive Woody was his name?
Yes.
That is a fantastic.
Great name.
That is a fantastic. Also sounds like a medical condition.
Yes.
That is fantastic. All right, crossover time.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
Guys, it's hard to believe that it's September, but what that means is we've kind of reached that point where the NFL, college football, baseball's wrapping up, NBA is a month away. We're at a really, really good time. But if we just took the month of September, there's also U.S. Open tennis and so many other things going on. But what is the one sporting event for the month that you are most looking forward to?
Ugh, gross.
All right, well, let's get them out of the way. Baseball playoffs don't really, you know.
They don't start till October.
Yeah, so that's gone. NBA, gone. NFL, they're specific games.
Well, I was going to say, does NFL opening weekend count? Because that's where it's going to be.
If opening weekend counts as an event.
It's kind of an event.
Which, by the way, I'm gonna say that it does. Here's why. Because the first thing that popped in my head might be the Tour Championship this weekend. That's going to be a blast, but that's over 4 days. So if that's the case, then why can't NFL opening weekend count? I don't think that's the spirit of Jason's question.
No.
But I guarantee you he'd accept Tour Championship.
Or how about, okay, just the very first NFL game played. Or are you more on the weekend?
I'm more on the weekend.
Okay,
because
that to me is it. It's fair.
It's
opening week in the NFL.
So you have the Tour Championship in golf. You have college football's true opening weekend
right.
happening this weekend.
U.S. Open tennis.
U.S. Open tennis, whatever. And NFL
See,
opening
It has
weekend.
To be the NFL.
It has to be the NFL. To me, it's NFL opening weekend. It's college football opening weekend. I hate COVID for 900,000 reasons, but I'd be at Players this weekend watching college football with everybody if it wasn't for that.
Is September the bridge month between the worst month in sports and the best month in sports? Like, this is our bridge month.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, July is the worst month. But August is right behind it.
See, I think July is actually better than August just because July usually have NBA free agency and there's just stuff going on there, whereas August is dead outside of baseball.
Crossover question. Jason Ross.
Who was the boss?
To your question about great events in September, we are right around the corner from crisp air, cool mornings, football Sundays, and that means food. I've asked questions in a sense like this before, but give me your go-to Sunday football dish that you enjoy cooking and eating the most. For Jay, I'm Dave. For Sam Amick, Jim Rome is next. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.